I am Victoria Owens. This is an interview with Joseph W. Brandeski of Culver City, one of the first settlers in the Costoris community. He came to Culver City from Bryan, Texas with his family in 1906 by wagon. When you came here?
We left Bryan on the 27th
in June. 26th June?
1906, and we arrived in Culver City in July 4th, 1906. 12 o'clock, the bell was ringing.
Well, tell us about how you crossed Christi Bay.
No, we crossed it on the water. They had a cedar post in the water there, and they didn't go back then from one post to another until we crossed it. It took us about an hour and a half to make it.
Did someone lead you across?
Hmm?
Did someone lead you across?
Yeah, Mexican, young Mexican. He got off on the nearest county side just before the train was leaving the north. And the train had to stop there for the drawbridge. So he hopped on and went back to Portland. And then they stopped in the wagon yard there. They had those days, they had the wagon yards that the farmers fed their horses. And at 12 o'clock, the bell, the market there, they had a bell, big bell, that rang at 6 in the morning, and 12 o'clock in the morning, and 6 at night. Oh, that won't be. The boys over here, the Corpus Christi were kind of celebrating. They didn't do that in Bryan. And the baseball, I went to the baseball, they had the ball ground right at the standpipe. There wasn't no, it wasn't built up yet. Mostly vacant land there. And that night, Daddy went ahead to the Costoris farm with, and my sister and I remained and came to the Costoris then about 12 o'clock at night. We stayed for the celebration. And that's about all I can tell you on that first day. And next day, Daddy was in a hurry to build, so we went out to 160 and laid out and played. Built a house and cut out some things. It was a little land, much deeper, kind of small. It didn't take as long to clean out the whole house. The third day, I started hauling the lumber. Mostly had number 20 foot 1 by 12 and 2 by 6s and some cedar posts. Mm-hmm. That was the way for me. And hot. And I don't know what I should.
What kind of roads were did they have?
Oh, there was a road up to the Costoris. Or the Boyan County land. Mm-hmm. There was a gate, swinging gate there. And after that, there was most hog water through the brush. And Costoris, in that subdivision where he had 20 foot stretch of land between each section, I guess 69. And that 20 foot strip cut That was hard to.
20-foot strips were cut for the roads?
Yeah, but it wasn't graded. You had to hold water and whiskey barrel. By the time we got home, half of the mill was half full. And the lumber shifted on me. One by 12, 20 foot long. The right side was the horses and the left side was sleeping off. But I had to really load. And it was all brush, except at the ranch house, what we call ranch house. We have about 60 acres in cultivation there. It was a nice place then, and big trees, live oak trees, kind of on the sandy land, good drainage, and big barn then. It was not great. Finally, 1940, the government took over the land and they ruined it. That is, I believe it burned up the house. They wrecked it anyway. And that was there, lumber and even the bricks, they were shipped here from England. Good lumber. All the rest of us, brothers and sisters, and mama, they remained in the ranches to gather the crops. They didn't come to cooperative. They got too picking and drying sometime in November, I think. So, my sister had some help in cooking and housekeeping.
How much did the land sell for?
Huh? How much did the land sell for? I guess it bought them for $15 an acre.
How much did he buy?
$160.
Is that what most people bought when they came here?
$160.
Yeah, 160 acres.
Lots of them bought 80 acres. Some bought just 40 acres. And it was different type, but we had a different type of land. The brush, the trees and brush and cactus on the higher, but good drainage, big muskies and chaparral, big clumps of chaparral. And cactus about 6-7 feet tall. We had to, didn't have no tractor, we could run horses through it. So you had to cut it up and then hold it out. And big space, something like 8 steps, probably, brother and I. And prime land was the first dozen little house we had. We had to put a culvert in front so it wouldn't dig in the hills. Otherwise, it wouldn't buy. Horses couldn't pull it to them.
What kind of plows did you use?
Oh, just a little turning plow. Later on, we had a disc plow. Well, that was a little better. Easier work. Little wonky plow. Didn't have the tools for the land. In 1907, first year, we didn't make but 3 meals. On the land that was in front of us. Well, it was a good year for cotton. And so it didn't raise out of no feed. Corn, we didn't even plant that for many years.
Just raised cotton?
Cotton, and then started in. They planted quite a bit of onions and cabbage and cucumbers. Some years made not too many acres, you know, but some years made money that they get the old cotton thing done. And the weather was a big drawback here, the salty water. That was even the horses didn't like it, but they got used to it. Worst thing was, they got a big shower and filled the whole waters, pulled the water, and horses got to drinking it, then they didn't like that salt water. But drinking water, well, that didn't use so much of it. We had an underground system. That was good, big system. I don't believe we ever got out of the water.
But you caught the rainwater, wasn't it? Huh? You caught rainwater. Who were some of the other people that moved here about that time?
You want the name of them?
Yes.
Well, there was Frank Katsuri moved here the first year, and then Combi Vick, and Heine, and Chase were from Nebraska. They were here already when we got there. That was about the only settlement in this growing new continent. It is farmers. There's a few workmen, not too many. They didn't stay long. And you want to know them about the hurricane?
What about the organizations like KJT and KJZP, when were they started?
Well, this KJT started in 1912, or 1910. And KJZP started pretty soon after that. Of course, we had some other clubs. We had the Bill of the Hall. For barbecues, dances, gathering. And one thing I liked, we had a meat club. 12 members. The best thing was 12 members. Of course, some of them went 50-50. So, and every Saturday was butchered. Sunday we had well, sometimes they even started on eating fresh meat on Saturday.
When was this club usually in what time of the year?
What?
The club, meat club.
Oh, yeah, in actually all killing time.
In the summer usually, then?
Yeah, in summer, only spring, late spring. Mm-hmm. That was a good thing.
And it went how many? It went two rounds, didn't it?
Most of them mm-hmm. went to 24 in Canada. Well, it was good for, that is, for the meat, and then there's a kind of gathering place for the farmers, so remember that long, just talking about weather, crops, anything. Well, there was a fellow named Ballard Walter Aikenson. He was from the old country. And he almost came direct to Gospel with another man. Eventually, if it wasn't for the Halloween, I don't believe they'd have stayed here. But they almost cleaned out the Halloween. They liked that man. The old man, he couldn't close one eye, he already closed both of them at the same time, so he got a hat. When he saw Aveline or something, you know, he pulled the hat over one eye and started shooting.
Did y'all use a lot of game for eating? Deer? Did y'all hunt a lot for deer?
Not too much. See, we wasn't in Bryan, Texas. I didn't see a deer until I moved in. And not used to it. Same thing with Abilene. Didn't need much of it. Even if we did, because mother was paying. And deer are the same condition. Didn't need.
What kind of meat did y'all eat mostly? Meat.
Most. And pork, hog, and chicken, all kind of pork. And on the time we shoot ducks and geese.
About how often did y'all go to enter to Corpus Christi for shopping?
Oh, once a week. Once a week I did most of the grocery buying, and probably didn't buy too much. Nor hardly any candles. Didn't buy no potatoes. Well, here in Corpus Christi we had to buy potatoes, large potatoes. Of course, we didn't raise any from the farm. It didn't grow here too much. And the other was the same thing with coffee and sugar.
Flour.
And flour, yes, flour. Prunes, well, I say prunes.
No, you didn't.
No. Okay. I bought prunes, I had 25-pound box. Well, the vegetables, when you had plenty of moisture, we always had plenty of vegetables, lettuce and onion and cabbage. We didn't starve here, we had plenty to eat. We had plenty of work. Mm-hmm. On the meat club, before it started, after it quit, well, most every farmer had a little steer to butcher. Eggs, they were selling for 8 cents a dozen in trade. Didn't have too many of them. If we would, we would have quit buying them. It'd be too many eggs.
How far did this Costori's, that Bohemian Colony lands, do you know what, how big it was?
It was over 8,000 acres. It, about 4 miles. I ain't putting in a square. About 4 miles from town.
It started about 4 miles from town?
Yeah.
That's from the courthouse, is that right?
Well, downtown.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. And they had some when we was here in the city. Well, there was a hardware store. E.H. Caldwell, and then in Boston, Grocery, Dickensteins were here, and Wild Brothers were here. We had plenty of stores. Implement stores.
Blacksmith shops.
No beauty shops. Mm-hmm.
Was Maru here then already?
Yeah, Maru. Mm-hmm. Yeah, honest.
Yes, and then I'd like for you to tell about that Mr. Mokri.
Oh. That was one of the Mokris. He bought 80 acres of homes. That time they called it Morgan Road. They're right there for deep. They went to Stowe's Ranch. And he came with his son. One summer, I guess it was right by old Shanty, Texas. they're going to crazy time. Mm-hmm. But boy, they're jumping all in action. Didn't stay there half a day, and you saw them blowing the horn, the eggs in the brush, and that left the phone. As far as I know, the eggs and vermin all might be there.
Did many of them come and go back, leave their farms and go back?
Some did, not too many, but some did. See, the Zulu, Fort Meade, not too many. Most of them still could be.
What about religion? Was there a church here?
Well, religion, St. Patrick Church in Corpus Christi, but there's an old priest by the name of Father Gable. He always came to our house. He could talk with German and Daddy could too. Smoking pipes, talking. He really was a priest. He married my sister. Angeline and Johnny are shaking down the house. They didn't build no, I don't remember what year, but the Germans built a church called it San Boniface. Well, they were building it when we arrived here. When they took them, they did most of the work themselves. It took them a while before they went through on Avenue Street.
But later on it became the Czech church, didn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of the Germans moved over to Wiley. Oh. And so it was the Czech church.
What about the weather? You have good years and bad, dry?
Yes, we did. When the organized the school district here, and they had a school trustee election in my house. Mr. Robinson and Everhard, Frank Everhard and Daddy. Nobody had come to vote, so they had elected each other. And Robinson Robinson told Daddy that he built his house on the wrong spot, and it's too low. Maybe he'll have someday he might have one in the house. At supper time, Daddy told him to bomb him. And he was into the guy here and didn't rain. Daddy's not in time. She told Bob Daddy to tell him Robinson that he's the biggest liar in Texas. But in September, we got big rain, and she found out that it was raining in
August. What about the storm?
Well, the first storm we got was in August 15, 1916. And that did lots of damage on. Didn't do some of the damage in town. It did lots in, out in the country, the two-story houses and the windmills. Most of them were toppled over. But it didn't hurt the crop because we didn't have anything to get. And the next one is 1919. That was September 15th. And that was a bigger storm. But it didn't do so much damage out in the country. Well, most of the windmills were down and rebuilt better. But it was bad in the Corpus Christi, North Beach, when they were out. And then we had, we got lots of rain with that 1919, and it was. And I don't remember it. Then a storm came by name.
They didn't have names then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First one, I know there was one Bueller. Mm-hmm. That was it lasted so long. Mm-hmm. I called it a nigger maybe. And then second one was
well, let's go back to the ones that were before. 1919 and 1916 were the two
first
ones. How about this Mr. Costoris? Where did he come from?
Well, he came from Nebraska. He was around Wilbur, Nebraska. He used to be a school teacher, a principal of the school at Wilbur, Nebraska.
And he bought this land to just to sell it to
put it in something with it.
Do what?
Subdivided into farms. He paid $8 an acre.
Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Then he sold it for 15.
So it started off at 12, but when daddy bought it, 15 of it.
And how much did you pay for the land you bought?
75.
75.
Half of it was in cultivation, but no fence and no building.
Oh.
Well, it was Bingham. I know Bingham and Drugstore. Oh, is here already?
When did these people start coming from Central Texas, from around Granger and Cornhill?
Well, the first one, the old man Zdansky, by 1912, in Ponasha, came right pretty soon after, in about 13. And then quite a few came in 1915.
Who were some of these people then? What were their names?
That
came from Cornhill, besides Polashek and Stone.
Oh, there was Slesinger and Lewison from Cameron, too.
Oh.
Mockery and Kovacic. And I know something about Cornhill. Well, later on, Nathick, Tankman, Malish, Jersey. And they all stayed except Slesinger. He moved back. The others moved back at Portsmouth.
What about Folder? What did he have to do with?
Well, Folder was it wasn't for Polo or anything, because stories wasn't ever made yet. You know. He finally took it all over on the left. And he put that in Coloration and built houses. And that's where most of those people from Cornhill rented land from him. Then later on, they bought the land too. Not all, but most of them.
And his name was Longin Folder?
His son, when he died, well, Lamar Folder, his son took over. He had, Folder had quite a bit of land left him. But Lamar died, she had him over.
And what about Mr. Costoris? Did he?
Costoris, he skipped and he went back to the open. Pretty soon after that, his wife left Corpus. I don't know, I guess she was in Houston for a little while, with her daughter then. And my son died, I think, 1921 here in Corpus. About 20 years old, around 20 years old.
And he had two daughters?
Two daughters. So.
You want to rest a while?
You still got more day?
Yeah, about 15 more minutes.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask me some questions if I can answer them.
When was the Castori School District? Do you remember when it was found, when it was started?
I don't exactly remember what year it was started. All the district might be started by 1910, but they were in the school. Billy Lee Owen.
Where was the school, this first school?
Well, it was right there in Circle, all this, all that corner.
And then later it was
named on Brandeskis Place. Mm.
Didn't Grandpa donate an acre of land?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. He donated his first acre, and then later on the school bought another acre. Joined. First teacher was Eisenberg. He lived about 2 miles from the school. A little better than 2 miles. He bought the, well, if it did, probably didn't buy it there from first story, but it was in that current boarding town, belonged to school, I mean, belonged to the school. And the other teachers, you had to get that school. They don't remember. Some Eddie Wallace and Yarnick and Busselman. And Mrs. Holly, my dad, my aunt, and can't think of his name.
Karankas?
Kubitschek. Hey, Karankas. And then
Mikulchek.
And finally, well, the Cox Christian School District has been old. They still have a school at Paul Castori. It's right by Carroll High School.
You want to tell us about that mule that wanted to go back to Bryan?
Yeah, it was, he didn't like the water here. A mule and a mare were blind. And so we had a little bell. We always put that bell on the mule when we turned out in the pasture. And you know that mare, she was following him. And that mule was careful if he couldn't make it. He turned back and rang the bell and come home. So one day I was looking for him about 2-3 days in the ranch and no sign of him. I don't know if somebody told me that there was a mule and a horse crossing town. So I don't know why, I just thought maybe they might be over there. And they were right up near the bay, where we landed. Mm-hmm. He was really going home. Yeah. But that's the first time he did a thing like that. He never did repeat.
Mm-hmm. Were there many cattle here when y'all moved here?
What?
Cattle, cows, and...
Well, on this Castori's ranch, they didn't know. Some years he had it rented out to some cattle. But our cattle there, they have free rent. So I don't remember that. About a couple of years, the man had a big herd of cattle, plenty of grass.
I guess you would say the biggest problem y'all had was water, is that right?
Huh?
Biggest problem y'all had was water.
Oh yeah, that was one drawback. Farmers would have been, it'd be much easier for them to have more good water. There's some spots that had better water than we did, and that is heavy rain, all one time, and solid water. And around sunshine, the water was better. They even made coffee out of the water. But when there was a heavy land and kind of not so thick, well, whether it was heavy land or mosquito, the only thing was the mosquito. When we got here, they were all small. But later on, they were going.
Was that whole lot of land good land for farming?
Oh yeah, that's the heaviest, that's the best land. Well, certain years the sandier land made more.
Y'all stayed mostly with cotton, is that right?
Yeah, cotton and feed. Well, we had to raise feed for us. Hopefully we sell them, so we didn't sell it. We just planted it. About a month to last of the year as well. Got a lot of them for the horses. And didn't find much corn. Somehow or another it didn't do too good, not the first year. And the field got too grassy, so we put mostly 2 or 3 acres for chickens. Maybe get those at home.
When y'all moved here, y'all cleared the land yourself, is that right?
Mostly. About 80 acres there. Well, after we had that in Federation, well, then Daddy had some Mexican to go by, particularly. But the first 80 acres of over 80 acres we cleaned out there.
How soon was it before they started building the roads?
Well, we had to hold a lot of roads for a good while. Then we opened up the found out up to Alta Vista, and Mr. Dotson made, but he promised if we'll build a fence that they would let the land. So then they came with they had about 6 mules to grade it and corn feed it. But all they could, they kind of leveled it down the final first 2 years or so. Later on, they had a heavier influence of the grader when they did kind of grade the road. Well, it was rainy weather, it was hard to go through. Even to town, sometimes we had to go home back to get some food, eat coffee, and make them for me. And doctors, we had what you call a family doctor. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to make no appointment. They let him know and he came out. He examined the patient and he liked to talk. And they had to come out. Now you can't even get in the door.
What were some of the doctor's names?
Dr. Dodge and Dr. Bernard. And That was our family, what you call a family of doctors, those two, but they were war doctors. They had real coats and all that. They don't do anything with you. Later on, there was Dr. Thomas. You got to add anything good on them?
No, I think that's enough.